Welcome back to the first episode of the Mid-Major Madness podcast for 2023. Ian Sachs, Nick Lawrenson, Austin Montgomery. And guys, there is one unbeaten team left. And who does it belong to? The Mid-Majors, New Mexico. Who had this on the bingo board at the beginning of the season?
Yeah, the Lobos are back and the Pitt's back. And coming into the season, you thought maybe they'd be fifth or sixth in the league. Even when there were like four Mountain West teams left unbeaten, I don't think many people thought they'd be the last team out there.
The guy, Jalen House, man, I was on the bandwagon early. Remember, I'm going to keep floating and predicting New Mexico to beat St. Mary's on the road. Jamal Mashburn, Jalen House are proving to be one of the best backcourts, not just in the Mountain West, but in the entire country. When the Pit is rocking, there's nothing like it. I've personally never been there, but they average like, what, 12,000 a game or something like that. Pretty crazy. Richard Pitino had his old man Slick Rick come out to Albuquerque. Iona played New Mexico right before the Christmas holiday. That was a big game. New Mexico took care of business there. And they got a big road win at Wyoming, which I didn't think that was going to happen the way they that game turned out.
Yeah, this week was really interesting for them. So they beat Colorado State on Wednesday. They went on this big run right at the beginning. Jalen House went off. I mean, he did this little shimmy, hit a three. They were up like 15 points within the first 10 minutes. They ended up scoring 26 points. A lot of that was in the first half. Then Austin, you mentioned that Wyoming game. Ended up going down to the last possession. I think there might have been a foul under the basket on New Mexico, but they didn't call it. But the Lobos came out of December unbeaten, so it's really impressive. They go to Fresno this week. They host UNLV on Saturday night. UNLV's kind of struggled to begin Mountain West play. We'll probably talk about that a little bit more later with some teams surging up in the Mountain West. But, you know, the schedule's looking good for the Lobos. They could go a little while with they could go at least another week with a win here with an unbeaten record, that is.
The game against UNLV sold out, and we talked about the Pit being rocking to begin with, but that sold-out atmosphere is going to be incredible. But talk about the intestinal fortitude of New Mexico, trailing by double digits against Wyoming, a team that went to the NCAA tournament last year, and they battle back in the second half. And sure, there are going to be questionable calls in just about every close game, but you know, they at the end of the day, they had enough to eke out the 1-point victory and knock off. We mentioned it a little while ago, in the Pitino Bowl, knocking off Rick Pitino and the Iona Gales, who are surging as well at the top of the MAC standings. But New Mexico has three players who are averaging over 16 points per game. It's a three-headed monster for the Lobos, and they're one of the most dangerous teams, one of the toughest teams to stop, because you have so many different options there. There's no 1 or 1A. It's 1A, 1B when you look at them and trying to stop them defensively.
Yeah, I mean, coming into the year, you knew they were going to have a good backcourt back there with Mashburn and House returning. But then Pitino hit the transfer portal. We got Morris Udeze and Josiah Alec. Udeze from Wichita State, Alec from Kansas City. And they're both tearing it up. I mean, Udeze has been one of the best front court players in the whole nation, averaging just under 16 points and 7.5 rebounds per game. So, I mean, it's exactly what he wanted off over the offseason. He's gotten what he's asked for, and it's all been put together.
Yeah, and then also kind of as much as it was a great win for New Mexico, why were we talking about the Wyoming Cowboys? I know Graham Ike, but when can we see improvement from the Cowboys?
I think that game was a lot of improvement. They come in a conference play. Everyone comes in a conference play. They have a new mindset. You know, they're 0-0. It's a whole new season. I think Wyoming's pretty much bought into this point that they aren't going to get an at-large bid. They really challenged themselves in the non-conference. They stacked that schedule. They were playing everywhere, every neutral site possible over there on the West Coast. So they challenged themselves they got these guys that really weren't acclimated into Jeff Linder's system with all these cuts and all these movements, and they were starting to build a little bit. So I think they're going to build a little bit more. You know, that game against Fresno State, the open conference play, that was a bummer. I mean, Fresno State always goes on these 10-minute droughts. They don't score anything. They had one of those, and they still ended up losing by 5 points because Wyoming couldn't score either. But that New Mexico game was a bright sign. I mean, they host San Diego State on Saturday. That's their next game, but they have a week to prepare for San Diego State. So maybe they can build off something there. That's a really, really good San Diego State team. Maybe now second best team in the league because New Mexico's really surged up there, but I think Wyoming's going in the right direction.
Nick, that's a great point about their non-conference schedule. I'm just looking back at it right now, and they played Drake, Boston College, Santa Clara, Grand Canyon, Louisiana Tech, Dayton, St. Mary's. That is a gauntlet, but it's preparing them for a Mountain West conference slate that we knew the conference was going to be competitive this year, but we didn't think it'd be this good. They had New Mexico this past weekend. Then, as you mentioned, coming up, San Diego State. Then they have, right after that, Utah State, who was one of the last unbeaten teams in the country, also playing really well. Boise State, right after that. You can't forget about Colorado State, UNLV also. So the conference is just loaded this year, and that non-conference slate is going to pay dividends for them because they've been playing tough games ever since the first week of the season. So when you get into the dog days of conference play, late January, early February, the Cowboys are a team and a program that will have been battle tested, not just for a couple of weeks, but for months already, that I don't know if some of the other teams in the Mountain West can say that.
Yeah, exactly. And something about that schedule that's not really thought about enough is, you know, they went to the Virgin Islands. They played in Phoenix. They played in Salt Lake City. I saw them playing Chicago. So they've been all over the country. I mean, you've got to think they've also grown as a team, just spending all that time together on the road. I think they'll be good soon. And when Graham Ike comes back, I saw him practice a couple of weeks ago at Dayton. You know, he's traveling with the team everywhere still. He's a big man on campus. Actually, when I went to Chicago, I had lunch with one of Wyoming's assistants, and they said they had to move all of his classes this next semester online. Or it was this fall online because, you know, he's such a big man on campus. When you see Graham Ike walking around, you're going to know who Graham Ike is, especially at Wyoming. So with that boot on and the crutches, it was just going to be too hard for him to, like, avoid people coming up to him. So they moved all of his classes online. I know he's growing. He's building. He's got to be ready here soon. And this Wyoming team's going to be completely different when him and Hunter Maldonado are out there and they're playing together again.
Fair enough. Now, next, other Mountain West team we mentioned before, UNLV, kind of taking a slide. But San Diego State, big road win in Vegas on New Year's Eve. Talk about kind of the Aztecs surge in UNLV, kind of after an undefeated start, starting off conference play kind of slow.
Yeah, the thing about UNLV that's really interesting is, like you mentioned, they're 0-2. They lost the San Diego State game. San Diego State's defense is still great. San Diego State's offense is getting better. But UNLV lost that first game to San Jose State, who's now 2-0 in league for the first time ever. They never even won a conference opener before they won that game against UNLV to open the season. So, like, big shout-out to Tim Miles there. Just shows how great the league is. I wouldn't even say, because Fresno State went and beat Wyoming, there's maybe one easy team in the whole league, and I would say it's Fresno State. But, like, top to bottom, there's no easy nights out there. Even if UNLV is going to slump down, maybe play themselves out of an at-large, but it's still a really tough time to go out there to UNLV, play all those guys together. They're a growing brand. They're growing back up to what they used to be. So people are coming back out to the Thomas and Mack Center, watching them play. Kevin Kruger's growing the program back up over there. There's a lot of really bright signs all throughout this league.
If anyone had on their bingo card San Jose State being 2-0 in conference play. I'd like to know who that person was. But that just speaks to the depth of this conference, that now you have, you know, San Jose State, who's 2-0 in conference play, UNLV, who was, again, one of the last unbeaten teams in the country, now 0-2 in conference play. We know they're going to turn it around. We know that they're good. We've seen what they've been able to do. I think the Mountain West is going to be the conference to watch this year as we move through conference play. There are going to be dogfights every single night of action, and I can't wait to see how it all shakes out. I think that this conference can get maybe 3-4, dare I say 5 teams into the NCAA tournament, which would just be incredible for a mid-major conference of that caliber.
Yeah, just like last year. Hopefully they don't lay an egg like they did last year where no one won a game. And that's the one thing where you kind of got to look at it and say, maybe the committee won't do that again because they know that all those teams lost. But you got to think positive. You know, New Mexico State's probably going to make it at this point. San Diego State's probably going to make it. Utah State's playing themselves into it. Boise State needs to start picking up a couple more wins. UNLV is still in that large picture, so you have 5 teams in that large picture. And, I mean, Nevada doesn't have a bad loss, and they've been playing good basketball, so who knows? Who knows?
I think Nevada might be one of the most consistent teams from the conference. Just they fly under the radar, but they get the job done. They get it taken care of, and I really think that they actually might be one of the best candidates to pull off a win or two in the NCAA tournament should they get there. I think that they can play with almost anyone in the country, and I'd be very happy to see what they can do both the next 2 months during conference play and if given the opportunity to put together a resume to get into March and put their talents up against the best in the country.
You got the one player in the conference that's made a deep run in the NCAA tournament, Jared Lucas.
That's exactly what I say, yeah.
Part of that Elite Eight Oregon State team, so you never know.
Yep, and I mean, they have all the opportunities possible. They got, after these next two games, they have at San Diego State, host Utah State, go to Boise, host New Mexico, go to UNLV, host San Diego State, and that's literally the last, what, 6 games of January. So it's a gauntlet every night in this league.
Well, quality wins are plentiful in the Mountain West during the conference slate, which is a good thing. You build up those resumes, you pick up those quality wins. Staying in that region of the country, but looking at the flip side of it, New Mexico State struggling out of the gate in WAC play, 0-2. And, you know, we had the off the court issues earlier in the season, and they're just not getting it right now. They're in a bad place right now.
Well, yeah.
Go on. What's up?
I believe it's the first time in 10 years they have 2 losses at home in conference play, and they're only 2 games in.
Yeah, they've never lost 2 games at home since being in the WAC the last, like, 20 years. But thank God their football team won a bowl game. Otherwise, for the first time in 100 years to offset that, right?
Yeah, shout out to Eric Hill.
So, but, yeah, New Mexico State, I think it's just new coaching staff. They've been really lucky to just pretty much hit on their head coaching hire since Mendy's left. Paul Ware had a good job. Obviously, Chris Jans, who's now at New Mexico not at Mississippi State, rather. And it's really hard to have, when you lose a Teddy Allen, a Sidier Rice, and don't bring anybody back from that team that won an NCAA tournament. And yeah, you get Xavier Pinson from Missouri, but there's just a lot of missing pieces there. And the WAC's getting a lot better. The WAC's a lot better than it is now 6 years ago. I think that's just a fact. And You know, I think New Mexico State, they're going to eventually get it right, but there's just more better teams in the conference. SF, Stephen F. Austin, Cal Baptist, Grand Canyon, Sam Houston State's on the rise. So just more competition there in the WAC. And New Mexico State just has to get used to, in their last year in the conference, just not being the dominant top dog.
Yeah, I mean, you just mentioned it, Austin. There's no easy wins in the league, which if you looked a couple years ago, it's not like that. New Mexico State pretty much won every single game. And that was the running joke. New Mexico State doesn't lose in the WAC. Like every team, there's an upside to every single team. If you put together their home records, there's 11 total losses. So there's 2, 4, 6, 8, 10. There's 13 teams, 11 total home losses. And about 75 wins. So they're dominating at home. We were going to mention Utah Valley. I mean, Utah Valley's had a great start to the season. They've won about 7 or 8 in a row. They beat BYU. They beat Oregon. And they looked really good in these first two conference games. They smoked Sam Houston State, who's 25th in the net. They had a great non-conference for the WAC, too. They beat Utah. They beat Oklahoma. They beat Utah Tech by 11 on Saturday to go to 2-0 in league. So Trey Woodbury's back there. They're really good. Southern Utah's new to the league. They got a great backcourt. Todd Simon's done a great job. They had Kansas on the ropes for a little while in a non-conference. Grand Canyon's always going to be up there. Seattle has a great backcourt again. We mentioned Sam Houston State. Tarleton had a really good trip to the Virgin Islands. Cal Baptist has maybe the best backcourt just depth-wise in all mid-major basketball. They have about 6-7 guys that can run over there. I mean, the WAC is really impressive this year.
Well, I just imagine the tournament, the WAC Vegas and Mountain West, they'll be playing about 5 miles from each other in their conference tournament in Vegas in just a few months, so that'll be exciting.
And you have the Big West not too far away either, and that's a really deep league this season too.
Yeah, the mid-majors out west definitely still in a lot of the spotlight, but coming back to the East Coast, how about Charleston getting back into the top 25, debuting at 23 this week in the AP top 25 and off to their best start since joining the NCAA in 1991 at 14-1, sitting top 50 in the net rankings, 90th in KenPom. The Cougars looking good.
Yeah, man, it's just awesome what they're doing over there. So I saw them play Colorado State in the Charleston Classic. I was impressed. And then they came back to Baltimore this weekend and played Towson. It was one of the best games I've seen this year. You know, there's these stats coming out in the first half. They absolutely kill teams in the first half. In those first 10 minutes, there's a couple times I just sat there, laughed, and smiled at myself. I'm like, what the hell am I watching? This team is so damn good. And then they kind of fell, but they still battled, and they ended up winning that game. Towson was the conference regular season champions last year, league favorites coming in the year, and they ended up beating them in overtime, gritted out a win. And after the game, I went and asked Pat Kelsey about the top 25. I'm like, what would you tell the voters? And I'm hoping that pushed some people over the edge, and it looked like it because they moved all the way up to 23 this week. I got a text from one of their assistant coaches today thanking me. I'm like, why are you thanking me? You guys have won 13 games in a row. But if you look at their schedule, they beat a lot of teams that made the NCAA tournament last year. They beat Chattanooga in the first game. They battled North Carolina, who was number one in the country at that time, and they led in the first half. They beat Richmond in overtime. They gritted out that one. They beat Davidson by 23. He was an at-large in the NCAA tournament. They beat Colorado State by 10, who was a 6 seed in the NCAA tournament. They beat Virginia Tech, who won the ACC tournament by 2. They beat Kent State by 2, although there was some questionable officiating there at the end. Kent State's one of the best mid-major teams in the nation this year. They beat a good ODU team by 15. And it just goes on and on. I mean, they smoked Hampton to start conference play. They have a really tough schedule this week. They got to go to Club Corbett, one of the toughest places playing all of college basketball, down at NCAA&T. That's a real sleeper team over there. They got a really good backcourt with Cam Woods. They got Duncan Powell. They got a kid in from Arizona State. They got a couple high major transfers into that program. And then they got to host Delaware, who won the CAA tournament last year. And then they got to go to UNCW, who's won 11 straight. So, I mean, if they can reel off these three wins here, they need to be a top 20 team heading into the mid-January. They have just so many wins, and they're doing it impressively. I really like this Charleston team. They have so many guys on that team. It's an awesome team to watch.
No, I love Dalton Bolin too. You look him up on Google. He's playing Division II playoff game with an eye patch on. Looks like a pirate.
Yeah, that's the cool thing about this team too, because there's a lot of non D1 transfers on this team. A lot of the guys are non D1 guys. They're JUCO guys, and he put them all together. Like, he has Ryan Larson, who comes over from Wofford. He's I think he's the only D1 transfer to come over into the program. And the interesting thing about Wofford is they don't have a grad school. So he did great at Wofford. He averaged like 10 points. He really slid under the radar, and now he's the leader of this team. So what Pat Kelsey's doing, he's finding all these hidden gems, putting them together, playing his fast style of basketball, dominating teams, and a lot of energy. During practice, he goes all out on these guys. Like, he's playing like he's playing street ball out there. And I guess it just gets them ready for the games.
Well, it shows in that they're averaging 80 points a game, knocking down 10 threes per contest, and they're getting a ton of offensive rebounds as well. So when you play that aggressively in practice, it's going to carry over into the games, and it's working for them. The one thing that you have to be concerned about is that what if they tire out, say, when we get into late January, early February, late February, end of conference play. But at least right now, with that aggressive style, it's affording them more opportunities in the game, and playing harder in the game leads to better results. And look, they've been absolutely on fire. It was, I think, when they won the Charleston Classic that really opened a lot of people's eyes to them of, wait, this is a team that, you know, can put together a couple of wins, and they just have not let up since then.
Yeah, they're going to be the popular upset team, I think, in the NCAA tournament. I'm really interested how the committee is going to discuss their pedigree. I think they'll have a resume where they should be in 8 or 9, but I think they might be underseeded, where they get like a 10, 11, or 12 seed in the NCAA tournament. It'll be one of those times where you'll see, I think it was, what was it, when Middle Tennessee was actually favored over Minnesota as like an 11 seed a few years ago.
Yeah.
I think Charleston could be in that type of similar role.
I could see them being a 6 seed. I mean, if they end up having one loss all season, they could be like a 4, 5, 6 seed. And something that really impressed me that I didn't really catch during that Colorado State game was, I think Towson had maybe one fast break that wasn't like broken. Charleston just went down the court every time. They battled every single possession. There's no giving up. Like we mentioned, that rough and tough style. They literally don't let anything easy pass them.
Totally agree there. I know that before we started, we were wanted to get into some Conference USA talk, and should be an incredible week for that conference. So many good games coming up. What's standing out to you guys as to maybe a couple matchups to watch or teams to be on the lookout for?
Well, we can start off with UAB and Jelly Walker. They've won 5 straight and won. They only have 2 losses on the season, and they have a big game against FA at Florida Atlantic this Thursday.
Yeah, it's a big prove-it week for FAU. You know, they're beating all these teams. It's not the best resume, but they're on a long winning streak, longest in their history as a D1 program. and they run these four guards. They have one guy in the middle. They host UAB, so they got to find a way. All these guards got to find a way to stop Jelly Walker on Thursday. And then on Saturday, they face a Charlotte team who's really slid under the radar. They're 11-3. They're 7-0 at home. Although they're on the road, they got to pick up a big road win here, Charlotte, so to really get some eyes started on them. So it's a really big prove-it week for FAU. Charlotte game on Saturday is a big prove-it game for both those sides. There's a lot of really good games every night in and out in Conference USA and the Sun Belt this season. So those two conferences that are usually football conferences, they're becoming basketball conferences this year.
There's a lot to watch. And then Florida, going back to FAU, they're 35th on KenPom now. And team, another great mid-major team with only one loss. What's the ceiling for a team with teams like UAB and FAU? Do you think Conference USA can be a two-bid league, or is it still a one big league that's kind of up in the air?
I honestly think it's those two that would probably battle off for an at-large bid. So this game's going to be huge for a resume building thing. UAB has the resume. They've killed teams. FAU really hasn't beaten many teams, but many teams of note to add onto a resume, but they aren't losing any games. So that's good for them. So this is going to be a big resume building opportunity. I could see it as a two bid if everything goes right and they split the season series. I don't know if they're playing twice, but if they split the season series and they win everything else, hell, we can hope for a three bid league. I mean, North Texas has some good wins too. So beating North Texas would be really good for them too, going down to Denton and beating up that defensive style team.
That's what I was going to say, that I think that you can't forget about North Texas when you're talking about Conference USA. And I think that the Mean Green honestly have almost as good of a shot as the two of them to maybe get into the NCAA tournament. But you have to also remember that we keep talking about, you know, earlier we were talking about the Mountain West getting, you know, three, four, potentially five teams in. That could swallow up a potential bid for Conference USA. So you have to look at it that way. And right now, I think I'd take teams from the Mountain West over any of a team from Conference USA. But it'll be fun to see how it all shakes out. But I think this might be one of the best crops for the conference in a long time of maybe showing, you know, that they can compete with some of the top mid-major conferences in the country.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting because this is really their last year as a strong league, as a lot of those top teams are moving to the American. I know North Texas is one of them. I believe Charlotte's moving to the American. UAB's moving to the American. So that's pretty much all those schools. There's a lot of conference realignment. The Conference USA is not going to be the same next year. So it's going to be interesting to see if they can leave off a good mark.
Totally agree there. Yeah, definitely. Next year is going to be a vastly different landscape from this year. But that being said, we have so many good games ahead of us, and the vast majority of conference play. It's amazing that we're right at the beginning of conference play right now. And I know that we're going to blink, and in what will feel like 30 seconds, we'll be at the conference tournaments 2 months from now. So definitely enjoy it. Any final parting thoughts from either one of you?
I think St. Mary's should be getting more love. People aren't showing St. Mary's enough of love. They're a really good team. All their losses are good losses. They don't have a single vote in the AP poll. We need the Gales to have some more love. Aiden Mahaney's one of the best guards in the nation.
Shout out to what you see Riverside's doing in Zion Poland. They come late comeback win against Long Beach State. They're 3-0 in the league. That's a team to watch out for.
Definitely second both of those statements. Guys, it's been a blast diving into the beginning of conference play, and only more to talk about as we embark more on in the month of January and on the year of 2023. Ian Sachs, Austin Montgomery, Nick Lawrenson, this was the Mid-Major Madness Podcast.